Hello, you're listening to Talk Our Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode where we talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how's the last few weeks been?
Inazuma.
Genshin Impact.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I actually have things to actually do in that stupid game now. I was scared, too, because you come into the starting area where it's like the first little like dock area, and then they're talking about how they won't let you leave, and I'm looking around, I'm like, there's nothing here. Like, I'm looking for chests. I'm like already like in chest mode, and all I find is like some boxes with carrots and stuff in it. And I'm going, this is a bad sign. Like, this is an Apple Island thing all over again where I see nothing. Thankfully, once you leave the first area, suddenly I know where there's chests.
Yeah, I was thinking that we were going to be doing first impressions this week.
You said preview last time we tried to record this, and I'm like, wait. And now you're second-guessing yourself.
I was expecting a first impressions this week, and so I was trying to balance playing that and keep up with my shows, and I was falling really behind, and I was going to just binge last night, so I went ahead, and all I was going to do was just do my dailies real quick, and the game crashed just before I went to go and do my bosses. And so I was freaking out. I spent all night up until 2 o'clock last night trying to get that game running. I never did tell you what it was. It was my freaking antivirus.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, decided randomly in the middle of my game that it didn't like that game no more.
It is from China.
So, yeah.
Trust Chinese software.
So yeah, it was an absolute beast to fix the problem. Finally got it working. Went ahead and did some ley lines real quick and made some more condensed.
I wish you could break them out of condensed. I didn't make that possible thing. But yeah, I like Ayaka. I actually, when I first got her, I wasn't thinking I was gonna like her. Like the way that she played, it was very charge attack based. But after like a while of like building her up and using her, it's like, okay, she's actually pretty. She's fun to play. She's different. Like, she's very... You have to do your dashes to get your weapon imbued with ice, and then you have to do charge attacks, and then use your R2, and then her ultimate just destroys everything, so... It's a lot of fun.
Truth be told, her
I still don't like the dash, though. I mean, the same thing with Mona.
I didn't care for Mona's dash. Ayaka's feels a little bit better.
Yeah, they...
But it's only moderate.
Supposedly made Ayaka's the same. Like, they made it...
Yeah,
it's less pushy to your direction.
Yeah, when I was goofing off with it, it seemed like it was improved, but still, she feels a little bit clunky. I don't know what it is about the two. I think it's because she feels like she's coming up faster.
Well, plus, you get stuck on stuff. Like, yeah. If there's like a small like divot in the road, it's like they get stuck on it, and it's like if you're trying to dash out of stuff, it's not really something you want. Plus, if you're just trying to go somewhere,
now
you're just constantly
grabbing
onto things.
I haven't really tried Ayaka in combat per se.
Ayaka. It's not Ayaka. Not from Tenchimoyo.
But Mona, technically, I have because I play tested her a while back. I guess I should probably try and do her test stage to see if she feels how she feels in combat. But between the two, just moving around on the map, technically, Ayaka feels better.
Yeah, like I said, Ayaka is like very, she has a system that you go through in order to fight. It's like, it's not just run up and punch things. It's not just run up and hit R2. It's not just run up and hit Q. It's like, there's a system to each step that you take in order to get to her max damage potential. It's like I said, it's kind of interesting in my opinion. I kind of wonder as a main DPS, but now I right now just have her with Ganyu. And so they kind of resonate with each other. And then I have everything else. So it works out, man. It's actually, like I said, it's different. Even though it's not necessarily, in my opinion, the most overpowered character.
Which, by the way, anybody is wondering, I did end up accidentally getting Ayaka and Mona this banner on accident. Literally in four pulls, I got her, Mona, and Chunyoung, and a Degum sword of some sort, I'm sure.
Yeah.
<It's a weapon.
laughs> my frustration is I built up a whole lot of Primo gems and then, did not win the 50-50. I never win the 50-50. Never.
That is one thing I do somehow get lucky with. Knock on wood, because now suddenly I'm probably going to get horrible.
At least after getting the pity, getting Gene again, and then going through again, I only had to go to 50. So that's my only positive, is that I didn't have to go to 70 again. So I always have to go to pity. Except for that one time I saved 20 rolls. Thank goodness. But no, like I said, it's nice to actually have things to do finally. Like and I'm not trying to rush it. Like I'm taking my time, because I of course have a lot of things to do around with the podcast and the YouTube, but it is nice to have, like, I can turn on and actually go out and do stuff. The only thing that's frustrating right now is that there's so many new materials that I'm like, getting the soccer pedals to raise her up is taking forever, because there's only like 15 on the field, and I take those out and then it takes 3 days to get 15 more. It's just I'm finally at like 30 of 60 for her last ascension. So thankfully soon I'll be done. So now I'm like actively looking for Sayu and Yoimiya's stuff right now, because I'm afraid that's going to be the same situation.
I'm absolutely dreading the next banner, because I know for a fact they're going to kill me when I go to roll for her, because I want her bad. And she plays absolutely almost to a T just like Fischl, and I loved playing her.
Yeah, when they have the mission, her story mission, I love how they have these events to do an event story for Ayaka and Yoimiya, and it's like they're required to go through the main story. They're not special event stories. They're literally part of the story. You're not gonna bypass them. But yeah, when you do Yoimiya's, you get to play as her, and she was pretty fun. I still don't like her charge shot, but you said, she's more technically use the R2 and then just machine gun shot.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really so much about charge shot shooting, even though she has a charge shot thing that does a little. It's like, it's so stupid. Why even bother? With Ganyu, at least you're like doing this whole boosh, and then you do like this insane second follow up hit, but it's like, other than that, it's completely useless.
Yeah, and I love the way that Fischl plays. And that's one of the main reasons why I got so excited about bow users, because I love the way Fischl plays, and having another one that plays similarly, it will really...
It's hard to kick the Ganyu thing, though. Like, every time I play Fischl, I always want to do the charge shot. Like, oh, wait, no, Ryan, don't do that with her.
And that's one of those frustrating things. I love Ganyu. Don't get me wrong. I do like her charge shot thing. It's really cool and a lot of really overpowered. But I have a really hard time with the whole aim shot shoot thing, because I want to play her like a sniper, and they don't allow that.
I do fine with a sniper. Like I said, her attacks are based on range, so it works in the end. Or is that because my bow? I don't remember. I think it might be the bow. But yeah. That's been fun. I still have my frustrations with that game, especially the gacha system, but it's always a lot of fun. And I'm getting through it. So
they're not gonna change. They like the money they're making.
Yeah. There was something the other day that I was getting frustrated with, and it's like I almost wanted to tweet out, like, can you please stop this? And I'm like, they don't care. They don't care. It's like their controller, like the controller support's always feels so afterthought. Like the whole tethering and electrical thingies, it's like L1 square, and then you have to switch to do R1. And it's like, who designed this? this is like not even intuitive.
Yeah, I kept trying to do the right bumper.
And then I'll accidentally open the map or something, because I'm hitting the R1 and I'm going forward and I'm trying to tether, and it signifies that it's R1 up on the joystick, so it opens up the map, and I'm like, no, it's R1 square, but I'm trying to do this at the same time. It's just, like I said, it's an afterthought, and that's what it's like. You have so many ding buttons on this controller. Why can't you use one of these? Oh, well, it is what it is. It is what it is. Anything else? Anything else exciting?
Started playing a little bit Final Fantasy again.
Yeah. 14?
Yeah.
I got back on that. I'm trying to do my dailies again. That's, I missed the game. And of course, everybody probably knows, it's the hype's going like crazy right now with obviously World of Warcraft's going terrible, and now the recent news is that they've pretty much stopped all production on World of Warcraft, so everybody's playing Final Fantasy suddenly out of nowhere. Even people that despise the game suddenly like the game, because everybody's getting viewership from Final Fantasy, so it is kind of funny seeing some of the people that I watch on a regular basis suddenly out of nowhere, they're playing Final Fantasy, and it's like, you don't even like this game. Why even bothering? You're all about playing what you want to play, and now you're suddenly playing this, and you don't like it. And I, the thing that I get the most kick out of is, and I hear it from every single one of the streamers, is the same thing. I don't care about the story. It's like, then don't bother. Don't bother. And they're like, but I might run into something that I'll enjoy, and then I'll get into the story. And I'm like, you can't. You're skipping through everything. You're not even reading it. How are you going to get interested in the story? What, are you waiting for a character to die, and you go, oh, wait, what just happened? Oh, now I'm interested because a character died or something. It's like you're not getting anything out of just getting right through all the stuff. So I don't know. It's cool because I get seen some people that I like playing the game. At the same time, it's like you're not getting anything out of it. You're getting frustrated. Maximilian dude, which I love his streams to death, but and I like the controller support in that game. It's actually really intuitive, but it's like, I'll never tank with a controller. Watching him tank with a controller is like,
I have yet to figure out a way to tank with a controller.
Like, I've done DPS as a controller, just as I want to be lazy and I want to play controller, but I don't see, like, positioning and stuff. I just don't see controller working.
And healer would be god-awful.
No, I did that once, and it works if you get used to it, but it's not as intuitive as a controller and keyboard and mouse, or a mouse and keyboard. So it's a great game. It's beautiful. I love the story. I can't get enough of it. I found out that I have like crap tons of quests to do before the next expansion comes out that have been released since I stopped playing. So that'll be interesting to get all that caught up. A lot of stuff to cover.
I still have 75% of the story, main storyline. I'm working on it. I really
am. Just getting into Shadowbringers. He's like, I need to get into the story that everybody's excited about. I'm like, you're a little bit late. Just gotta get caught up. But I got four more characters to get to 80, I think. So I'm getting close to capping out my levels at least.
Yeah, Crafters, I think I'm at farther. 74, 75. On my main character. The class that I chose, I chose to do Gunbreaker, and I'm trying to catch up real quick. And I still, once I get 80, I still have all the patches since.
Quest to go through. But it's good quest. I mean, they're good stories.
I kind of wish what they would do is allow you to, I mean, even if they figure out some way to do the experience so that I can still continue on the main storyline quest with, and just work up my other characters. I know that's too overpowered, but it's just annoying that I can do the quest on my paladin, but once I go to turn it in, I get no credit for it. It's just annoying. One of those annoyances.
What do you mean? I'm not following you. Switching characters, middle quest?
Switch your class so that you can get the work on the character while you're doing the quest. But once you go to turn it in, it says, oh, you have to be level 80 to turn it in. I know because I did that during Heaven's Ward. I want to say I did that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. I think that's basically it. Just Final Fantasy, Genshin, and trying to get caught up on everything. I think I'm pretty much. I still have Honor at High School to finish up, and obviously I think Jahi's coming up next week or maybe this week. So other than that, I think I'm pretty much done with my first impressions, and then we can start getting into. I think once I get the first impressions done, I'll probably set up my weekly watches. I think right now it's 2 Year Eternity, Sunny Boy. I want to get caught up on Higurashi, and that's what I'll end up starting to do as well at the same time. And something else, I'm forgetting something. I think I want to do Eidolon Deities No Only Peace. That's been a very promising show. I'm liking that stuff. Did you watch that yet?
I watched 2 episodes, I want to say.
That's pretty much all the time.
I was middle of the road on it. I didn't. Yeah. It
has a rough ending on the first episode, definitely.
Well, the whole second episode for me, so.
The ending of the first episode, do you agree with me that that was, it's not that, like, you know me. It's like, I'm fine with that technically being a storytelling beat. I just think it was portrayed very tastefully. Like, it was whimsical, the way they portrayed it. I mean, it's supposed to be unsettling, and I understand why they did it. I think it's very distasteful how they did it.
Quite frankly, it really pissed me off. That's all.
Yeah,
it's
going to. Yeah, it's obviously.
I don't know if it was because it was portrayed as whimsical. I mean,
it looks like they were doing a stupid dancing with and everything. Like I said, it's supposed to be disturbing, but it's still, you're portraying it that way, and it wasn't necessary.
And I think that's kind of why it ticked me off so much. Maybe it just. In general, I was getting upset at the scene. So yeah. I guess maybe that's what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, pull it off, I guess. Congratulations. Moving on. But yeah, a lot of stuff to get caught up on. And I'm assuming that once we come around to, Pirate Princess is supposed to be mid next month. And then Jahi's the end of this month. I think there's another show that's like a late start. There's so many late starting shows this season. It's kind of annoying for what we do. It's very annoying because we have to like schedule things around for it. But suffice to say, Pirate Princess will not be on our First Impressions podcast. That's for sure. Let's dive in the news that should be important to you because it's important to us. That it's important to you. That's important to us. And that's first one we have is Jujutsu Kaisen manga returns from hiatus on June 21st. So I must have forgotten about this, but yeah, apparently the manga has been on hiatus because of the author's poor health. So good to see, hopefully, that he's returned to health and that we can continue it. But that's cool. That's cool. Let's see here. Shueisha Weekly Young Jump has announced that Shadow House manga is going to be going on hiatus. This is like the hiatus podcast episode. I think there's like four bits of news about hiatuses. But yeah, Shadow House is going on hiatus and will be returning after August 26th in the release of that issue. So yeah, that's sad news, especially after the
I happen anime. To notice, I didn't read it because I didn't want to see any spoilers, but what was going on with the whole they alternate ended it?
Yeah, apparently the anime original the show, so
yeah.
There was something that troubles me because it's this aspect of that, and not so much that it doesn't seem like they did too much to affect the ending. It was more of a fact that they removed a character early on that apparently is supposed to be critical for it and would come into play after this. So the question is, how would they reintroduce that character if they wanted to continue with the adaptation, which the assumption is that they designed it so that it can be a one-off. And an advertisement, because that's what anime does, is advertisement. But I don't know. It's kind of sad because I would love more of the adaptation, but they do stuff like that all the time, and they still manage to pull off sequels. But yeah, typically with original endings, they don't really continue.
Yep.
Bummer. A live stream of the Konosuba channel from Isekai Museum announced the production for a new Konosuba anime TV has been greenlit.
Hmm.
Yay. So I gotta watch the movie. I get some people on maybe it's just one person on a regular basis talking about how we need to watch the movie and we haven't watched the movie. Need to watch it. It's good stuff. But that's good. It's awesome. I think they said that it's supposed to be a TV. No, they don't specify. They just said an anime. So that's the big question mark, if it's going to be another movie or if they're going to do a TV anime. But they said to be patient for more information later. So stay tuned. We will obviously cover it once we get more information. Let's see. Sayori Ochiai's Jingetsuni manga is going to be returning from hiatus. So that's another hiatus news. Apparently went on hiatus in January. We probably covered it and I forgot about it, but that's cool. I think you like the anime of that, right?
I recognize the name, so probably did like it.
Yeah. Netflix and Orange has announced that another Beastars manga adaptation is happening, so we will get more Beastars. Yay!
Second season worked out?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a nice addition to it. I had a couple frustrations with it, especially what they were doing with the main character, but it worked out in the end. It's still an incredible show. It's still an incredible kind of weird, interesting look into, like, I love this idea that you have this world that has obviously animal people, And the way it kind of tries to marry it with our modern world, you know, they're going to school, they have lives, but still having this element of introducing different ways of looking at, you know, racism, segregation, all that kind of stuff with a obviously animal instincts viewpoint. Like, there's obviously this one character that they introduced in the first season, the panda bear.
Right.
And his whole thing was that he was rehabilitating people who ate too much meat and became basically murderers. He was rehabilitating them. And the way that he was looking at it was, this is their instincts. It's not necessarily something they can control. And looking at it from that perspective, yeah, you say that's kind of wrong, but it's like, but this is this world, and that's the mentality of this world is instincts. It's that switch that you can hit, and you can't turn it off. That's cool. I've always loved that. And they kind of get a little more into that with the second season, and I really do like that. So it's just a really clever little world that they've created, and I really love the characters. So good to see more coming, definitely. Level 5's Megaton Kyo Musashi anime has been announced for October 1st premiere. So that's cool. I don't know that I've heard anything on this one. The key art looks extremely like 13 Sentinels, the game that I've been playing. I thought it was going to be an adaptation of 13 Sentinels when I seen the cover art. I'm like, wait, cool. Oh, never mind. It's something else. The story takes place after 90% of humanity has been wiped out due to invasion. Survivors live in a shelter where their lives are monitored and memories of invasion erased. Three teenagers from the shelter choose to pilot three machines that combine to form a Musashi robot made out of material named Megatronium Alloy. Megatronium Alloy. The series will balance robot action with school life. Gotta have school life. Always. The world is ending. Mega robots, transformations, saving the world. Civilization being brainwashed. School life. Club school, obviously. Gotta do all that stuff. The official website for the anime Yasuki Tanaka's summertime rendering manga announced a 2022 premiere, so we got a premiere year, at least, for that movie. Publisher describes it as, upon hearing of Ushio's death. This is a spinoff of Ushio and Tora? Ushio's going to die?
Doubt it.
This is a shock to me.
Unless it randomly says Tora is going to be upset and murder the entire world. I seriously doubt it.
Tora looks for hamburgers. Shinpei returns to his hometown in Wakayama City on Hitoshi and reunites with his childhood friend's family. The funeral goes smoothly, but under the surface, something strange is brewing on the island. What mysteries await him on this secluded summer island? I'm assuming Ushio is the girl and she's a ghost now. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when that summer, when that movie comes out in 2022. it might be TV anime. I think it's going to be TV anime. We'll see. Sentai Filmworks has announced a guest list for their Sentai at Home 2021 virtual event. This is taking place on August 20th at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Pretty cool lineup they have for it. I'm actually pretty interested in actually checking this out. They have tons of people in the anime industry that's going to be involved with that. I'm guessing they're going to be having it recorded and translated because they have several people from Radio of Healer is going to be there. Nanon Biori, including like the voice actresses and actors, directors, script writers. Tons of people for Nanon Biori. Script writer, director, Renge, Hotaru Komari. And these are the Japanese people, the Japanese seiyus, not the the English ones. We have Kevin Pinkin from, of course, the composer from Made in Abyss is going to be the director. Made in Abyss is going to be there. Tons of people. Princess Principal people. We have the director of Nana, Gitarobo arc director, and Hayato Jin from that one. And then we have a couple people from the Mothers of Goddess Dormitory. So that one's going to be there as well, because that's a recent one for them.
It's kind of cool that now we can, in certain ways now we will be able to actually experience a lot of this stuff that is kind of exclusive to cons and stuff like that. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's something I kind of wish they would gotten onto a long time ago. I mean, Crunchyroll was starting to do it by giving themselves a presence, but it was always like a camera sitting like over here on the side of the convention and random people walking up and going, it's like nobody cares. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, especially with the Crunchyroll cons, after a while they started kind of bringing more and more, you know, obviously Japanese-speaking directors and stuff that can't speak English, but they're there and they have them translate what they're saying, so they can actually speak to their Western audience, which is really fantastic. So, and yeah, like I said, tons of really great directors and people involved with this one. I maybe just watch it just for Renge's Seiyu. That's cool, though. Very cool. Doing good work there, Sentai Filmworks. Crunchyroll has announced that they will be streaming Platinum End. I'm sure people have been kind of listening for this one and getting excited for it. Obviously, this is the new manga that is by the creators of the Death Note manga. So we have Takashi Obata, who is the illustrator, and Tsugumi Oba, who, of course, did the writing for Death Note. And they, of course, they made a new manga, which was Platinum End. And it's going to get adapted into an anime, which will be streaming outside of Asia this fall. And it's going to be 24-episode run. So, insane. That's exciting. Definitely exciting. See if they... I don't know. I haven't really seen anybody talk about Platinum End, so I'm not sure if it's, you know, a knock it out of the park like Death Note was, but I'm sure they'll probably play off in the gray area again. You think?
Maybe.
That's their specialty.
Hopefully they learned a lot of lessons.
Yeah. Stop while you're ahead. We're going 24 episodes. I'm not sure they learned that, but it is cool that it is actually 24 episodes because they specify it will be the entire story, so... No manga bait here. That's cool. Funimation began streaming a new trailer for JC Staff's original anime film, Sing a Bit of Harmony. And this is going to be a co-pro with Funimation, so that's obviously why they have the trailer. the film will have an October 29th opening in Japan. I like this because they streamed a trailer on their Twitter, and you watch the trailer, and it's obviously the Japanese trailer, but it has subtitles. And at the very end of it, it has like the end key, not the end key, the end note of it where it's talking about, like, you know, this is the date and it's going to be premiering and stuff, and it's all in Japanese, and it's like, you could have taken off that last bit because, like, literally that's Japan, not here. But I guess if you're in Japan and you're watching Funimation's Twitter feed, you probably got informed, so good for those two people. But no, I think that's one that we're kind of interested in. We watched the trailer on here before. I don't know that we were informed that she's apparently an AI, but it was the one with the girl. Like, she immediately runs up to the boy and says, "I'll make you happier." Or the girl. I think it was the girl that was sitting in the chair. And she's like super ganky girl, wants everybody to sing. Tells the story of a beautiful and mysterious Shion who transfers to Keibo High School, where she quickly becomes popular for her open-hearted personality and exceptional athletic talent. She's a robot. But she turns out to be an AI in the testing phase. Shion's goal is to bring chronic loner Satomi happiness. But her strategy is something no human would expect. She serenades Satomi in the middle of the classroom. After finding out that Shion is an AI, Satomi and her childhood friend, engineer geek Toma, steadily warm up to the new student alongside her popular and attractive Gochan, the strong-willed Aya, and the judo club member Thunder. They become more and more moved by Shion's singing voice and earnestness, even as her antics bewilder them. But what Shion does for Satomi's sake ends up involving them and all in a serious pandemonium. Get ready for a heartwarming story of a not-quite-market-ready AI classmates. Yeah, they had this scene where they're, like, out in, like, the baseball field or something like that, and suddenly out of nowhere, like, this system comes out of her chest or her belly, and it just, like, just emits a bunch of steam. It's just kind of a little bit broken. But it looks like fun. She looks like a lot of fun as a character, so I think that'll be a great movie. Hopefully Funimation doesn't take too long running it in the theaters and then waiting forever before they release it on Blu-ray, and then we can finally watch it. Because Funimation just loves their theatrical releases. See here. Elegant Yokai Apartment Life manga is ending on August 25th. So if you're still keeping up with that series, I kind of enjoyed the anime adaptation. So I think you watched both seasons, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. It was good, though.
Yeah.
Good music. Really good music. That's for sure.
I enjoyed it.
Let's see. A new trailer for Masaki Yuasa's Inu O musical film reveals an early 2022 opening. So that was actually a cool trailer. If you guys get a chance to check that out, it's spelled I-N-U hyphen O-H. Inu Ho. This one is like... based on the trailer, it looks like it's very kind of traditional Japanese with a hint of rock. And so the trailer is like super bonkers, but it looks like a really cool... I don't think it's going to be like what people would think musical. This isn't like, you know, Disney film, everybody's singing every 2 seconds and dancing and praying together. It seems more like a... I don't know, Fantasia-esque, where it's like more about like this. It's like just more darker feeling and just playing of music in the background and stuff like that, or the characters themselves dancing and playing the music. Not so much like, you know, Grease. So don't think Grease. But looks really cool. I definitely recommend people check out the trailer for that. That's looks very promising. Let's see. I jumped ahead. New website for the opening. A new website has opened to announce a TV adaptation of Isekai Yakyoku. This one is Alternate World Pharmacy. Another pharmacy isekai. That's our new biggest craze is pharmacy isekais. Because the current one's working out so fantastic. It's cute. It's laid back and cute. This story centers around a young pharmacist who was so focused on his research that he died from overwork. There's another one of overwork. He was transported to an alternate world and reincarnated as pharma, the scion in a noble lineage of court healers. In this world where erroneous remedies and cures are rampant, he takes on all kinds of ailments to save lives thanks to his inside knowledge on modern pharmaceuticals from his past life. Yeah. Very interesting. Now, I was about to say that we also have technically the one that was last season with the omnipotent, the Magus's power is omnipotent, ancient something, the girl that is omnipotent.
Okay, the saint.
Saint's magic power is omnipotent, thank you. But yeah, that one, and then we have, of course, again, this season we have Cheat Pharmacist, so... That seems to be a thing. So, but this one sounds like it's going to be more sciencey, like with the omnipotent. That was more about just her imbuing magic into water and making potions,
right?
And with Cheat Pharma, it's like literally, I need to make soap, so I'll just grab random herbs from the world, and it suddenly becomes soap. It's not really about, like, you need this, and you need to do this with it. It's not, like, it doesn't break down the science of making things. It just says, clap together, they become soap.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably going to be more, like, the breakdown.
It's almost like one of those alchemy games where, and he does this kind of weird dance thing, and then
yeah,
suddenly...
Yeah, whole magical transformation thing. All the dancing chibis around the corners, the fairies. Yeah. Let's see, Netflix listed Rurouni Kenshin Saishosho The Beginning for streaming in the U.S. on July 30th. This is the second of the two final chapter films. This is the second of two final chapter films of the live-action film series. I think it said there was supposed to be three. Might be two. No? I don't know. This is the second one, though. they're already streaming the first one, so yeah, if you're checking out the live-action films, definitely check out Netflix for that, especially on July 30th when they release the second one, so, which is technically already happened, so it's already out. No, it's 30th. Is it second? 20th or 30th? It's the 30th, so we're good. It's still a ways away, a couple days, anyways, so, yeah. Let's see here, that's already that. Quick run through on licenses. We have Yenpress has licensed Banish from the Heroes Party. I decided to live a quiet life in the countryside manga. From the Red Fog manga, Demon Lord 2099 light novel, Chitose-kun is in the Rumune Bottle light novel. Square Enix manga and books has licensed Sino Alice manga and My Happy Marriage manga. So,
what is Banished Hero? Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. But...
it's one of those titles that you pretty much got a good idea of the first at least two chapters. So,
what was his reason for getting banished?
Yeah, yeah. Despite being bearer of the powerful divine blessing of the guide, Red has banished.
Oh, he was banished a guide
from the. Oh yeah, it's a guy. So,
no, I meant guide.
Oh, okay. I thought you got upset because it's a guy. Listless, he
seems kind of a useless class. So, probably easy to get rid of him.
No, you have to have a guide to find out where to go. There's trackers are good too. He decides that he's head to the frontier and hatches a plan to spend his days working an easy apothecary job. Thus begins his new life.
Another pharmacist.
Another. Yep. That'll probably get adapted here soon. And the biggest news of the last couple weeks, and I'm sure you're excited about this. No, not that. Not that for all. The biggest news is definitely the inclusion to the gaming market, the Switch killer, Valve's new Steam Deck. Are you ready?
I don't want to talk
about
that.
Are you ready for the Switch killer, Chris?
You don't know how much I kind of actually want that dang thing.
Oh my gosh, I was bringing this up because I wanted to tease you about it, thinking it was going to kill the Switch.
I don't know that it's going to kill the Switch, but it is something that I am seriously considering, mostly because of the fact that my biggest reason why I wanted the Switch?
Because you want something that won't melt in your hands and burn your hands off and play video games?
Yeah.
And that's not really what you're going
to
do with this.
The ability to play most games, both handheld and on the screen.
I think for you, honestly, the Steam Deck would be good.
Yep.
I think the problem with the Steam Deck that I'm seeing is, unless if you're playing like smaller games, like non like they have in the preview here, it's got Control on it. It's like you're not playing open world games and high crazy graphic games. I think it's gonna be great, but once you get into the bigger games, I think it's completely. It's just illogical to play anything but the highest like model they have, which gets up there to $1,000. It's like the lowest costing one, which one was like, what, $399? 64 gigabytes. Memory in it's not that fast. And putting extra information on like a SD card on the side is just not going to play off it very well. So you have a lot of bandwidth issue with the memory with the lower ones, but... Yeah, if you have the money to throw in to get the big, huge model with the larger hard drive, I think it's like, what, 512? Then, yeah, you're starting to get into a realm where it's going to be more plausible to play bigger games. But, like I said, I think it'd work out for you because you usually play smaller games. But I think anybody else doing high graphics or open world is just going to be useless.
Yeah, the other thing that
Genshin Impact.
That's what I was thinking. That goes into exactly what I was...
What is Genshin at now?
25 gigs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
My main problem is, and what you just said kind of goes right into it. The fact that it is technically a Linux based, and I don't know
default. Yeah,
I don't.
You can
know,
put whatever you want on it.
I don't know how much "quote unquote" emulation they're going to be placing into the system, or if they're just going to flat out. Force the developers to deal with it.
That's correct. Big question mark there because a lot of the games on Steam are not Linux based. So, yeah.
And now that's not saying that they're not going
I would suggest most people just get Windows 10 put on it. I don't see why you would run it off the Linux because, like I said, you're going to have to be dealing with certain games not being available for it.
And that is a viable.
Plus, you can put other emulators on there.
Yeah, that is a viable option for a lot of people. Most people will probably just go, yeah, I'm just gonna yank it and toss on Windows. That's viable. But most, there's going to be a large portion of the market that are just going to go, I want my thing. My game's not playing on it. I don't understand how to reinstall an operating system. That's going to be a problem for a lot of people, especially seeing as how you technically have to go and buy a entire, for some people, if you do know what you're doing, you're going to have to go and buy a thumb drive, or you're going to have to buy a disk drive just to plug into it to make it work.
That's the big question mark. I guess you would make an installer on the SD card.
That's then, very possible as well.
Install it that way. Depending on
if they're going to allow booting off of the SD card.
Well, they have to. Otherwise, how are you going to be able to boot?
That's what I was saying, a thumb drive.
Unless you can, I guess, install it through Wi-Fi. I don't know.
I don't know if that's even possible yet. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, Windows can
download. you still have to bypass the main drive.
Mm.
Techie stuff. Sorry, guys.
And then you also probably, once you get the Windows installed, you probably have to install some kind of custom drivers for the device, because it has like touch pads and all that kind of stuff that are custom to their Steam Deck. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think this is one of those cases where I would just wait for the next generation. This is obviously first version, and they're going to probably do a lot of improvements going forward. It's great for early adopters. You're probably going to be excited and jump right into it, but it is technically one of those things where I would suggest, personally, for most people, most buyers, you're going to probably want to wait till the second model comes out and they have better memory options, I guess, and all that kind of stuff. Because I think the biggest hinder on it is going to be the memory. I don't know that a lot of people are going to be really too happy about it, but it's got a lot of plus things. And I think the other exciting thing about it, and okay, there's two things here. One is, what are we looking at for availability here? We already have scalpers on this thing already. Yeah. Obviously, chips are very difficult to get right now, and they may have some strings they can pull, but there's going to be a shortage on this stuff anyways. But again, it's going to be the first model. But at the same time, it's one of those things where I kind of hope that it's the thing that will push Nintendo to at least improve their... It's always good to have competition. And Nintendo's technically never had competition. They're always their own thing. So it's a good thing to have this here to kind of push Nintendo to get better. I don't think this is... Like I joked before, I don't think this is a Nintendo or a Switch killer at all, because...
I don't either.
People go to Switch for... One, it's a lot more portable than what this thing looks like it's going to be. And two, you have the aspect of it being something that has only Nintendo products on it. There's a lot of console game makers that just don't put their stuff on PC. They put on Switch, so... It's exciting either way. I would more probably be interested in it more in the idea of emulating, putting emulators on there, but...
There is also the overhead problem, which most PC users, if you are really, really into the emulation market, you understand the overhead problem. And that is the main reason why PS4 is so freaking powerful, even though your PC has a lot more... memory and graphics capability and all that stuff. Why is the PS4 or the Xbox One, why are they, or Xbox One S, whatever the newest version of Xbox is, I don't even give a crap. Why are they so much more...
They're optimized to certain hardware.
Yeah. Overhead problem.
But at least with like, that's why I don't really mind the idea. If I were to get something like this, I'd probably put Windows on it. Windows 10 is pretty lightweight. It's not too bad. So.
That's why.
Thankfully, ever since I think Vista, they've been doing a pretty good job of kind of cutting a little bit of that fat. My gosh, Vista was so bad. Ugh, I can't believe I jumped in that stupid thing. That was a dumpster fire.
That's a discussion for another time. So,
cool stuff there. They even have it to where you can hook it up to a monitor and a keyboard, mouse, like a dock, and just use it as a PC. It's pretty crazy. But like I said, probably won't wait for the next versions of it. Ain't no telling what kind of crap you run into with that thing. It's so crazy, though. With the chip shortage thing, it's getting... I've kind of given up on it. It's like I don't see it being resolved. A lot of people are saying it won't be resolved, the chip issues, until like 2024 or so. PS5s are still never going to be available probably until 2024. I've come to grips with it. It is kind of scary, though, in the idea that like... All the stuff that we have right now, like PC and stuff like that, it's scary. Like, if any of this stuff fries, it's going to be impossible to find replacement parts. Like, everything's being affected. I was looking up PS4s the other day, and I told Chris about this. I looked at PS4s, and it was, they're up there now. They're being up in the $1,000. Like, you cannot find things that have chips inside them without paying a huge hefty cost. And that's scary. And the recent crazy thing I've seen is, like, I've seen a listing on Amazon for PS5. And it was, like, $1,500. And it wasn't scalping prices. It's everybody copying GameStop. So you literally could get a PS5 through Amazon right now, but you have to buy, like, a $600 external hard drive.
Wow.
Like, they're bundling in extremely expensive other devices that they can't sell just so they can sell those along with the PS5. It's gotten, like, I thought GameStop was bad with their, like, here's three controllers and five games that nobody wants to buy all in a bundle. Buy it. It's like, at least you're getting gaming stuff. Over here, you're getting just random peripherals and stuff. It's gotten crazy. And like I said, it's sad that it won't get any better. How are you, what's your thoughts on the talk about them actually creating plants in the U.S., apparently in Nevada? Like, the issue they're having over there overseas, or obviously in China, is, like, droughts and stuff. But what is your thoughts on them actually bringing it back over to the U.S.? Like, I'm afraid, but I'm excited at the same time. It's like, yeah, I would love there to be local competition to building these chipsets, but at the same time, you do realize it's going to jump up the price immensely. But at the same time, what are we dealing with right now? It's no different than what we're dealing with right there. I mean, you either have the chip shortage and it's over there, or you bring it over here, the cost of making it's higher, but at least there's availability. It's like this huge conundrum that you face. Like, you want it, and obviously it's more jobs in the U.S., but in having that it in the U.S. is great. Not having it overseas is obviously a good thing. But, yeah, I'm not sure. It would improve the availability, but at the same time, it's going to standardize the higher cost, I think, is my, what would I come down to in the end?
I absolutely think it's fantastic. It's one of the, like you were saying, it's kind of a conundrum thing that it sucks in one respect because of the fact that this is something that we've been dealing with for years. A lot of stuff used to be made in the U.S., and we make very high quality stuff. What ends up happening is,
now it's designed in the U.S. and made in China.
Yeah.
isn't that what it says on Apple products? It's something like designed in Cupertino or something like that and made in China or something like that.
It doesn't surprise me one bit. That's the biggest problem is that we make very good quality stuff. I'm not saying that China doesn't have their own things that they do really well. Not what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form. What I'm saying is we make very amazing stuff. I remember when I was a kid wearing a shirt for practically 10 years and it never went bad. Mm-hmm. Now I buy some boots or something like that and they're going bad within a month.
Chris, back in the day, we didn't really even wear shoes half the time. We were just running up and down the street barefooted.
Okay, fine. When I was in the Army, I had a pair of boots that lasted like 4 years. Now a pair of boots dies within a month. My point being is that something has happened to the quality of stuff. Now, do I blame it on the Chinese? No. Do I blame it on...
It's all the Chinese plan is to have us wear shoes that will fall apart. Yes, they will fall apart. And when we fight them, they will fall apart and they will fall.
What I do believe is that there is a level of... cutting corners that can happen in trying to make something as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
Does that necessarily mean that they're doing it on purpose? Maybe. It's possible. I doubt it. I just think that when you are constrained on cost, we've talked about this with...
Well, I mean, that's like graphics cards. The big thing with the 3090s and the new graphics cards, 3080s, I think 3080s, 3070s, 3090s, the big thing they had there that people ran into was that there was a memory issue. So they were all 3090s, but for some reason, these ones ran worse than these ones. What they ended up finding out? Well, once they pulled up the heat sinks, what you would see is they had all these capacitors in there, and the requirement from the actual company designing it is you have to have this many modules here. But they only specified that certain amount of them had to be like this certain specification type of module. Well, some companies go, okay, that means I'm only going to put that many there and the rest are going to be these cheap ones. And so what you had a problem with was that some of them were working great and some of them would actually have all the modules the same. Some of them would cut back. So what'd you have? Some were terrible, some were great. So that's a simple case there where you go bare minimums and you cut those corners so that it sells for more. They were all selling the same cost.
Were they downgrading to, you know, how memory, it brings the good memory down to the lower memory so that they're all the same?
I don't remember because it's been like one of those come out like last year. Mm-hmm. It was something that affected that. I think whenever it tried to utilize those modules, it just broke. It just had tearing and all that kind of stuff, graphic glitches and overheating and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, cutting corners. It's not a good thing, obviously.
But yeah, that's and yeah, that, and that's the biggest problem is that when you're faced, you're on a tight budget, you want to go and get some lunch or whatever have you, and you're sitting here looking at a lunch and you have $5, you have the $10 lunch and you have the $5 lunch, which one are you going to do? You're going to get the $5 lunch. Even if you have $10, you may want to save for lunch tomorrow so you can get $5 lunch today and $5 lunch tomorrow. The point is that what are you naturally going to do? You're going to go for the thing that is cheaper and you're getting pretty much the same thing or if not more than what you were getting before. So it is what we've gotten to the point of, at least me personally, I've gotten to the point where I'll pay the extra just to get the better thing because I want the not necessarily that I can afford it any better, as I can't.
The expensive has become the same quality as what the cheap was back in the day, and the cheap has become terrible. That's the problem.
And so we're at this point where I want something that's going to last me a while. If it costs me twice as much as what I had before, fine. But I want something that's going to last me a while. And that's why I say it coming to America and being built here, I have not necessarily that I have more faith. I'll just take the chance because I want something that is well made, is going to last me a while, period. I don't give a crap if I have to pay more money for it.
I've worked for companies in the South and there's certain factories that you can say are just as bad as China.
Yeah.
And the turnaround rate's probably the turnaround rate's probably a lot higher here than over there. But it is what it is. So yeah, that's exciting. That's it for our news. Let's jump into our community. We have plenty of time to do questions. So that's great. And it's great because people came through. So I'm super happy about that. Thanks everybody for jumping in there and answering the call and giving us tons of questions. So our first one, and it's sad because I have my email ones. I didn't write down the dates on them. So I don't know when the forum ones came. So I'm going to go back and forth. I'll just go back and forth between the forums and emails. So our first one is from Otaku12034. Says, "Hey, gents. I'm back to answer the call once again. But before that, it's been hilarious to hear you say my name differently every time." It's... Okay, here it is. This is exactly what they say their name is pronounced as. And it is Otaku space 1 space 2 space 0 space 3 space 4 hyphen or parentheses open individual space numbers close parentheses. So there you have it. Thanks for the clarification. Otaku space 1 space 2 space 0 space 3 space 0 space 3 space 4 period open parentheses individual space numbers close parentheses.
You're such a smart aleck.
It's better to be a smart. Was it? It's better to be a smart A than a dumb A. I thank you guys a lot for the content questions I gave you the last time. Very helpful info, and I really appreciate the idea of you guys giving me a shout out of some sort. I might take you up on that when I make my first good video. LOL explanation point. I think they sent an email later on that I have to get to, so that we'll probably, hopefully get to that before
I got that email, too. I was going to remind you about that.
Let's see. Anyways, enough chit chat. More questions. My friend and I just finished binging High School DxD, and I really enjoyed a lot for the plot. The plot. Somehow. My first question for all this is, who is your best girl from High School DxD and why?
Kuro.
Koneko, yeah.
I
think we're both team Koneko, so... Yeah, and it's funny because I think later on with, was it Born? There's Born and then New and then Born, right? And then Hero. New, Born, then Hero, right?
Probably.
But like they brought in like a Kitsune character later on, and there was this one girl that was like the sister of this other like hunter chick, and I really liked her. But yeah, it's always been... Yeah, there's a thing for a certain best boy, but it kind of always comes down to Koneko. Koneko has always been my favorite. Unfortunately, she's always kind of backseated a lot.
She has one of my wallpapers. Unfortunately, none of the other characters really do.
Yeah, she's great.
I do like a couple of the other characters, but none match her.
Yeah, it sucks because like the main focus girls is like I never really care for. Unfortunately, just not me personally. But yeah, it's like cat girl, best girl. She's cute. She's great. Love her personality. So yeah, it kind of works out. A second question from your educated guess. When do you think the next season will come out? It's been an age long debate and everyone seems to think this year sometime. Not sure myself. But hey, here's to hoping. It's actually spring 2022 is when it's going to start.
You've heard this?
Yeah. You didn't hear about that?
Uh-uh.
We literally just had it in the news section.
Okay.
Literally just talked about it. Are you even paying attention to this? For those that are listening to this podcast, it's like 22-23. I think if you get the skim back to 22-23, that's when they talked about it. Anyways, thanks for the fun listening materials while I slave away at my job. There you go. Must be working at one of those Chinese chipsets.
I just made them all laugh because I forgot that you talked about it, High School DxD. So
I literally didn't. That's part of the joke.
Ah! See, you're messing with me.
Yep. Yes, we did talk about it, Chris. Makes it much more bearable. No, we didn't talk about it. But no, there is they announced like 2 weeks ago.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think our last discussion we talked about it was supposed to be spring 2022.
All right. That's cool.
I'm just joking.
I seem to remember us talking about
it. We never talked about it.
Okay, then
never.
Fine.
We don't know.
You don't want it to exist? Fine. I don't care.
That means I don't want it to exist, that I'm joking about the fact that it's not been announced. Yeah, Kanuka's getting like a side story. OVA. To lie to.
I don't trust you. You're messing with me.
Trust has been destroyed. It will never be redeemed. No, I don't know. My guess is probably how long did it take before we got the next seasons? Was like 4 years?
Yeah, the first one was a while. And yeah, the other ones came pretty quickly, but that don't forget, content is whether or not it's available and if they feel like they can actually make an entire season out of it.
Well, the crazy thing was when they came back, they literally retconned everything because it was originaled. And that was kind of a surprising... Oh, by the way, I also like Asya, the nun girl. I really like her. She's way cute. And I always like how she always tries to like get involved whenever they're doing something inappropriate. Like, I can do this too!
I technically kind of like Ara, the vice
president. Akeno, yeah.
The vice president. But reasons, I don't much care for her character design. But yeah. She is a cool character.
Asya was great. Nun girl. Nun girl, best girl. Irina was the sister that I like. I don't like Zenobia, the blue-haired one. I like the pigtail. I think she was Sundere. She has the look of Sundere, but she was cute.
The one of the Valkyries? Was she one of the Valkyries?
Yeah, I think it was her and her sister. They're not really sister. They were like a pair.
Yeah. She had that big old freaking sword.
She was part of the.
She was pretty awesome.
The religious group that was trying to hunt them down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so technically not a Valkyrie. She was one of the nuns. That's right.
Yeah. Gaspar. That's what the name. I was trying to remember his name.
Box Boy. Great. I love him.
Yeah, Gaspar's great.
We can consider her.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. New Opie, which I think is where they were trying. No, that was at Genovier. Then Born. And then Hero?
Hero seems to be the last season.
Born, then Hero, yeah. Hero is the latest one. And so at Hero, of course, they did a new studio. And that was in 2018. Wow, it's already been that long. Because we had to binge through the whole thing because Andrew had to get caught up on it. So we grabbed the whole Blu-ray set just to get caught up. And that was 3 years difference.
Yeah.
So three years span between the two of them. And then 3 years before then. So it should be this year.
I don't hold out no hope. I just go, ooh, cool surprise. I get more DxD.
Should be this year. Yes.
I want more Sister New Devil. That's what I want.
True. Very true. But that's a whole weird thing. Like, we always kind of equate things to be similar. And it's always a problem whenever you see the similar shows and then one gets attention and doesn't. The other doesn't. We had that with Asterisk War and Chivalry Fell Knight. They were both coming out at the same time and everybody was drawing comparisons. And we're loving Chivalry. And guess which one gets, like, what it got, like, I think it got a second season. That was
it
about
got
it.
A second season, yeah.
Asterisk War. Mm-hmm. Not Chivalry Fell Knight. Chivalry Fell Knight's like, man, that was it. We're done. Move on. But no. And that's similar with DxD and technically I would like more of the what was it? The vampire one?
Seraph?
No.
I would
completely
kill
different
for,
story.
I would kill for more Seraph.
Oh yeah, I need more Cruel Tempest. But it's like this whole idea that you have these comparisons and the one gets the upgrades and the other one doesn't. It's frustrating. It's always been frustrating. So
Vampire One. You're
the one where he goes into like this tunnel and it comes into a skull and there's like werewolves and vampires and everything there and he's a human and obviously he has to
be scared. Rosario.
Rosario X Vampire, yeah. Is it Rosario X Vampire?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So I wasn't far off. That could use more stuff. I'm not gonna be against that.
You want to talk about long?
I still need to. I need to rewatch
between.
Though.
Yeah,
it's been so long. I bought the whole set. So.
Did you?
Yeah, I got the Blu-ray. So eventually, hopefully, I can get around that one.
That's one that I think I ventured out and started reading the manga. I didn't get very far. I've gotten probably about halfway through the actual show. So, but yeah, I love Rosario X Vampire. But hey, is that any news to anybody that Chris likes ecchi?
It's a big shock. Big shock. Jet TWD4th chimes in on the forums and says, good day, gents. Actually said gentlemen. I think saying gents is suggesting they're going for an accent there. It seems that more than likely than not, when anime series movies are rebooted, revised, there seems to be an overall approval by the audience when they court. For example, Fruits Basket, DBS, Dragon Ball Super, Higurashi. Super technically wasn't a reboot or revise. It was a sequel. I'm thinking you're probably thinking Dragon Ball Kai. But, and Higurashi, which again, Higurashi's not technically either. So you got Fruits Basket right. Fruits Basket would be a reboot revisit. So there you go. However, when Hollywood tries to do, I was wondering where this question was going. I'm like, okay, good. However, when Hollywood tries to do it, often alien rather than celebrating the fandom. For example, he had to bring it up. He-Man, Netflix He-Man. That's been all the talk last week.
I really need to go and find out what the heck is going on with that. I know that everybody and their mom is talking about this, but I don't really want to find out right now, I guess.
I'll leave that to you. I don't care. In your opinion, thankfully, I'm not, like, I loved He-Man. when I was a kid. Just one of those things where I left it there. In your opinion, what is Japan doing right where Hollywood mostly misses the mark? Do we really have to answer this question?
I think people know what it is. We've danced around it for a long time. If you haven't gotten our opinion on what it is that's the problem.
Specifically, in equating this with anime, and I think that's the best way to go about this. Fruits Baskets, for example. What did Fruits Baskets do? Okay, the original adaptation of the Fruits Basket manga was adapted it to a certain point, and then it originaled it because they didn't have any material, and they just closed it there. It was terrible, because obviously it's similar to Fullmetal Alchemist. Fullmetal Alchemist, they did the original series, they ran out of material, so they originaled it. And whenever they come back and do it, they redid Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, they redid Fruits Basket. What did they do? They readapted the manga, the original source material. It's exactly what it was originally. What do you have when you have reboots of American stuff? They're making their own thing. They're modernizing it. That's the big key problem. It's not a representation of the original item. So,
yep.
Does it surprise you that it alienates the fandom when you go, oh, we're redoing He-Man, or redoing this, or redoing that? And then they're like, cool, I love that. Oh, by the way, that character's gone because this character's more interesting to us. Or we need to do this. We need to kind of check these marks. That's all I'll say is they're checking marks. Obviously, the fandom's upset. Why aren't Fruits Basket people upset? Because it was the manga. They adapted what it was. Why is Brotherhood literally number one anime of all time? Well, technically, Fruits Basket was for a little bit there. Because it followed the manga. That's your answer. They don't respect the original source material. It's always been that case.
Yeah, and that's all I would say to a T, is original intent versus...
The reason why people are okay with Dragon Ball Z Kai...
Taking liberties.
The reason why Dragon Ball Z Kai worked out is because it was cutting all the fat that nobody liked anyway. So it was technically not being true to the source, but it was cutting all the fat. And I guess technically they technically could have been removing stuff that was anime original, so, which nobody cares for. So, yeah, that's your answer. The best way we can. let's see here. Havoc sent an email, said, hi, guys. So here's there's a question at the end, but just wanted to start off by saying that I only now finally realize you're paying when it comes to the Funimation app. What a steaming pile of garbage. Dang it, Roberts. We've started a thing. I've had people on Twitter, like, tweeting at Funimation and stuff, and they always include me to say, Funimation, you're doing terrible. Dang it, Roberts. And it's like, oh, gosh.
And this random executive at Funimation is like, why do people keep saying, dang it, me?
I actually was trying to see if I could find Roberts on Twitter, and I'm like, I probably shouldn't. I'm gonna bring somebody out. I'm already doing bad enough by saying, hey, they gave their name in the press release. It's not that I looked for them. It was in the press release. So they put their name out there.
And we tried to get on the Roberts bandwagon. We were all like, Roberts is going to go in there and fix everything. But she didn't.
How many times have you ever had a case where somebody becomes public as a new figure and a joke comes created around? I mean, oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher his name. Reggie Fils-Aimé technically became a joke, and then he became a star. So I was hoping maybe the same effect will happen with Roberts. So suddenly out of nowhere, we're joking about this Roberts person. Suddenly they come out of nowhere, and they're putting videos out of like, hi, I'm Roberts, and I'm going to fix your app. Didn't work. Like every other person in that position, they're like, I'm too dang busy. I'm going to do my own thing. Or they just hide in a closet
don't
somewhere.
Don't put my name.
Yeah. Darn, they posted my name. Now everybody knows who I am. And now this guy on this podcast is talking about me. Anyways, Havoc also says, anyway, previously, because I am an Aussie, I couldn't use the Funimation app as it was unavailable for us for some reason, licensing probably. So to counter that, they offered a different app called Anime Lab. Yeah, because I think they bought them.
Yeah, they bought them.
Which is experiencing this app and hearing your issues with the Funimation app I'm skipping a line, which is still Funimation, but with different branding skin, and it offers all the same, but for Aussies, I guess. But from experiencing this app and hearing, this is a big wall of text, I'm sorry. From experiencing this app and hearing your issues with Funimation app, I just thought that you were just over-exaggerating the problems. No trust whatsoever. That hurts a lot. If we ever rant about something, unless you hear like a joking tone, we're probably serious. We don't over-exaggerate things often.
To be fair, a lot of YouTube content creators do over-exaggerate.
They're used to that. Yeah, they're used to that. We're pretty genuine. I'm sorry. That's why we're probably boring to a lot of people. We're too genuine. I could act like a monkey and jump around, but it isn't going to work out for many people. They're probably going to hate me. But
people did love your monkey.
That was a long time ago. We don't talk about that no more. This is because Anime Lab is actually not that bad of an app. There you go. Now they are streaming another steaming pile of crap that is a terrible app. Now they are shutting down Anime Lab and forcing us to use a parent app. So yeah, I guess technically the case there is that you had Anime Lab over there. They were doing their own thing. And then at some point they got bought out. They were allowed to kind of keep their identity and their service until eventually, like we mentioned with the Crunchyroll thing, even if Funimation does end up buying, or Sony ends up buying, technically Sony's buying Crunchyroll, it will remain as Crunchyroll for a long time, mainly because of licensing restrictions. They made a license for Crunchyroll app or whatever. And then eventually they'll phase them out. And that's the same thing here. They probably had Anime Lab, was an established brand there. They kept it up. And eventually they said, okay, we don't want to keep basically developing and fixing bugs on this Anime Lab app. Eventually we want you just to use the Funimation app. That way all we have to do is worry about that app. So it was unfortunately a thing that eventually was going to happen.
Well, on the bright side there, the upside down land is actually filling our pain instead of actually having everything backwards, which down in Aussie land, Funimation actually works or something like that.
That's the other problem, because like every time they watch an anime on the Anime Lab app, and if it ends up being something that was being provided by licensing through Funimation, it's going to have the toilet flushing the wrong way, and that scares people. So eventually they're going to have to use the Funimation app, and you're just going to have to get used to seeing toilets go the wrong direction. I'm going to get hate for that. Let's see.
Aussies love being told that they're upside down.
They're incredible.
Just like Americans love saying that we're right side up. I mean, that's how it is.
No, they said they're right side up and we're upside down.
No, we're right side up. They're upside down.
Mm. Our feet are always connecting. Now for my question. Well, that was one. How do you fail so badly at making your main app so shysta, but have no issues with another app that overall would technically have less priority to manage and maintain its usability? Anyways, keep it the good. Keep up, guys, from your faithful patron, fan, and friend, Havoc. Thank you, Havoc, so much. Very much so. Thank you for your constant support of us through Patreon and stuff. We really do appreciate it. So how do you mess it up so bad? Well, again, I've already kind of mentioned it there, but the reason why one was working and one wasn't is because they're two different apps. One was established, and one is some other companies coming in and replacing it. So they're two different systems, and they're finally switching over to, again, the one that doesn't work, which is unfortunate. And that was the thing that I was mentioning, the idea of the buyout with Crunchyroll. I'm like, well, I hope this means that they will bring the people that are working on Crunchyroll, because I mean, all people have problems with Crunchyroll stuff, but I have way, way more problems with Funimation's services, their streaming, their infrastructure, whatever. So I'm hoping that, you know, Crunchyroll would come over there and say, hey, and they would use their servers and their systems because they're so much better. Don't say, okay, well, we're moving everything to Funimation. No, please don't. I don't want your website. I don't want your app. I don't want none of that. But yeah, different app developers, some know how to make it properly and some don't. And Roberts doesn't.
Now, being fair,
so far,
I'm gonna be the devil's advocate here. To be fair, okay, there is a magnification problem. If you have 10 users, one person has a problem, that's 10%. Now, multiply that out over million users. 10% or 10% is only like 1,000 users or something like that. So it's it's a lot more. So those voices become magnified. And so you sit there and you go, to us, we're all experiencing the same problem because we are all hearing the people who are having that problem. The 900,000 people who are not having that problem. So Funimation's going, well, the app has a problem. We're addressing the problem. We can't seem to figure out the problem. I don't know why, but that is what it is. But when it comes down to it, 90% of our customer base is not having that problem. There's also, when you get into development...
And the sad thing there is it's how many people are just not saying anything.
Yeah. You also go into a development side of when you have... Think of it this way. If you have 10 people using your program, they each find different problems. So 10 different problems. You fix all those problems. Now consider that in the magnification. You're talking about 100,000 different problems. All of them may be the same issue, but each one of them are experiencing it their own way. Like when you talk about game development. Somebody clicks this box over here, but somebody else may not ever click that box right there. So you have to prioritize which customers, the vast majority of the customers who are experiencing the same problems. The smaller problems that not everybody's experiencing, you can shift that off to the side as long as it's not game breaking. So yeah, think of it that way.
I'm not downplaying, programming and bug fixing at all. I mean, I understand from a standpoint of what little I've done with programming stuff, it's really a case of you can change one thing to fix something, but you'll break 50 other things.
Spaghetti code is horrid.
It is the problem that is in programming in general, is the idea that you fix one thing and break 50 other things. Yeah. So you have to be very careful about what you introduce to change or fix. But at the same time, that comes back to the idea of, well, program it correctly and cleanly as you can so that when you do change something, it doesn't break five things. Yeah. But
I am being the devil's advocate here. I'm technically just as frustrated as most everybody else with Funimation. I complain all the time about my Roku Funimation app. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, the counter to that obviously is that it's a paid service.
Yep.
It should be functioning, and saying that it's difficult to fix doesn't fix the fact that somebody's paying to use it, and so it should be workable. I mean, we have so many things in this world that if they break, they literally cost people lives. You can manage a stupid app that plays a video. We're not talking about life or death here. You don't have to, stress over it. Just fix it and make it functional. But yeah, the biggest problem is always in the idea that there's so many platforms that it has to go to, and it has to work for all of them. So
on the bright side, you may get lucky, and with the Crunchyroll merge, we end up with the Crunchyroll app. Although that's only moderately better.
You started that with, if you're lucky, they'll merge. If you're unlucky, they'll merge, and then you'll be lucky that they'll merge the apps.
No, that would be the downside of it. If we end up with everybody gets the Funimation app,
yeah,
maybe we get the Crunchyroll app, which is only moderately better.
Yeah, come on, Roberts. You can do this. We know you can, Roberts.
We know you can. We still have faith in you. Kind of.
Let's see here. Star K says, I heard the call, so here's some questions for my favorite anime podcasters. Oh. One, what house or apartment from an anime would you like to live in? Although the majority aren't that noticeable, there are some good standouts like Konosuba Mansion, which is a personal favorite of mine.
It wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I can do that. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's bit and much.
I can even ignore the creepy dolls.
No one use a restroom. That's a little bit. That was the line drawn there for me. Is needing to use a restroom in there. No, I think the the new one that came out here, the Black Company, his he had a nice little crib set up before he got transported. He's got like his little mansion at the top of a skyscraper, and he's got it all made, nice view and everything, and then suddenly that's gone. None of that no more. I don't know. I
do we get characters? That's the big question. Do we get the characters? Because I could go to Slime World.
I don't think that that's part of the question at all. They didn't specify that they like Konosuba Mansion because they want Mega Man there or anything like that.
It's true. That's why I'm asking. I mean, this is an important question.
That's why it's kind of a difficult one to answer. I'm just thinking of the places themselves, and it, like Love Hina or something like that. That was a nice little kind of layout they had there.
Yeah, but you have storming big pans, wash pans.
That's true. That's true. That was a thing. And lots of regular flights.
Regular flights.
Like regular flights into the air.
See, I can go to 300 years killing slimes, and then you could get two lolly slime girls, you get a couple of cute dragon girls, a ghost girl.
I'm struggling here because I don't
elf
think that
girl that's making you lots of money.
It's odd that I don't think there's really many. There's not much emphasis put on the living conditions with these shows. It's like they're usually typically just like plain Japanese houses with paper walls and stuff that you have to fix on a regular basis. None of them are really ever like super cool houses.
Could go. Now, just throwing this out there into the time chamber in Dragon Ball Z, live there for a little while. Then you could see time as it goes by. Yeah.
That sounds terrible, Chris. It sounds, well, I mean, there is the idea that you bring stuff in with you and you can watch shows at an incredibly high speed. So I guess that is, a hyperbolic time chamber would be nice. No, I think even better, I think they had one of the spaceships which had all the living accommodations that you need, and it also had a hyperbolic time chamber in it. So that would be a better option, that particular spacecraft, because then you get both. Otherwise, you're just having a chamber and you have to like leave every now and then to get food or something. Unless you bring a whole lot of food in with you. Canned foods. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. Stuff that won't go bad inside the time chamber. I feel like I'm missing something, but I don't know. Like I said, it's odd because I don't really think many of them really highlight anything special about houses and stuff. They're usually very basic. But
it's more about the characters than the ship.
Yeah, basically. I know there's the tatami mat. Have like basically portals to so many different girls.
You see, and
your house.
I was thinking tatami mat room as well, because all the girls just keep coming and just falling from the sky for you.
But again, that goes back to the idea if we're including the cast itself with it. So.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're just really choosing based off the cast, and that doesn't really have anything to do with the apartment or whatever. So, like I said, I think the guy at the beginning of Black Company had it pretty well made. That would be pretty nice. If you could pick a character to have a spinoff, which character would you choose and what entertainment medium would you think suits them best? Example, show, manga, game, movie, etc. I'm still waiting for them to adapt the Rem spinoff book that they had for. Basically, it's this concept where Subaru chooses Rem at that particular point in the story, and they made an entire light novel based off of it, which is, like I said, need to be adapted. I think people were trying to push Elon Musk to paying for them to adapt that because they talked about ReZero getting a sequel, and they're like, hey, the Rim's got his own story, and they could do that. So apparently that didn't work out. Apparently he did not get the right contacts in order to pay for that to happen, unfortunately. But yeah, I would like that. I mean, there's... Just basically go back, listen to all of our podcast reviews and me ranting about shows pulling a Sakura Sao and make a spinoff where the story is correctly done.
There you go.
Sakura Sao being one of them.
I could do a Golden Time where the other girl gets the win, but that's me.
In school live with the girls becoming Yuri Harem.
I don't know. There's a lot of them that I would love to see, because automatically, like we made the joke about earlier, Kaneko would be a nice one to see. Pretty much you go through our Any character that we go on a huge tirade about usually is the ones that is probably, you could almost say, you went on a rant about this character. Yeah, I would love a side story of that character.
Yeah, I guess if you wanted me to pick, I would probably say it would be Rim. I'd want that. And that's the thing, is like it technically already has it. It's just I want it to be adapted, really, is what it is. I want an anime formatted of it. I think they've had people actually create fan-created versions of it, but I want the like official adaptation of it. That would be fantastic.
Didn't we talk about last week the Kuroneko? Was it getting an anime or a manga?
It's getting a manga spinoff.
Ugh, that needs to happen fast.
That way you can act as if that never happened in the original show. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I think is probably my biggest. I want that. That character, I absolutely adore that character.
Yeah. I guess I should do this before I forget. Because we've talked about Otaku space 1 space 2 space 0 space 3 space 4 period individual numbers having something, and so I don't forget and not do it. Yeah, they inquired back saying they have a channel. It's called Shut In Bakas. It's on YouTube. Been mainly doing reviews and discussions like yours, so I was hoping you guys could give some sort of pointers my way to improve my content. I guess I technically should have watched this stuff first. I've peeked in it a little bit, but not fully. But looking to do some collaborations, and we'll speak on it later. But yeah, if you guys got a chance, check out Shut In Bakas on YouTube. Definitely check them out and support them. We always like the idea of supporting the individuals that listen to us and support us. Kind of spread the love around. And I think that's a nice little aspect. I haven't listened too much to see if you might be mean and angry about certain things that I can't support. Like if you were to be saying who is Rem, I can't support you no more. I hate that joke. It's not funny. It's never been funny. The who is Rem has never been funny. Don't say it. If I hear that on your stuff, I'm gonna blacklist you. Anyway,
he's gonna do that just to tease you.
Yeah, no, not to tease. I'm literally going to don't tease. It's not even funny if it's tease. It's not even funny. It's never funny. Let's see here. What else do we have?
Who did that to you, Andrew? Who? You seem scarred by that.
It's just a joke that was been on Twitter since the beginning of the first, the second core of the first season. It's always been around. I'm tired of it. Bacon Chips, a.k.a. Bacon Chips. Or also known as Bacon Chips, says,
is that that guy from the dark web?
No, it's a different person.
Oh, okay.
Says audience applause. Who's applauding? What'd you do? Are we cheering that you've entered the arena or something? I have questions, not all anime related, but questions nonetheless. It will be a multitude of questions that you have to name the episode Bacon Chips questions. We'll see about that. First question is pineapple on pizza a sin?
No.
No. It's fine. It's the sweet and salty thing. It doesn't mean that all pizzas have to have pineapple on it. It's just every now and then it's good to have a pineapple pizza. And it's not just pineapple. Now, let me correct that. If it's a pizza with nothing but pineapple on it, bleh. No. It's got to be pineapple and bacon ham on there. It's a mixture.
Canadian bacon,
sorry. It's a mixture. It's a salty and sweet mixture. Anyways, fight me on it. People get really angry about that thing, though.
Like, I really don't care.
Why has this become such a heated debate? Who cares?
I personally love me some Italian sausage on a pizza. I can handle pineapple. Not my favorite, but it is what it is. Is it a sin? No.
No, no. Second question, what is your favorite anime opening?
I'm going to go with Seraph of the End.
I think we always end up going back to Utuwaramono.
That one was fantastic.
Intro.
I will admit that.
Here recently, I cannot get... We talked about Tokyo Ravens a couple podcasts ago, and I keep listening to that intro. It's a great intro.
Iconography, Evangelion.
I thought you were going to say the Konami Suzuki one, the Watamare?
Yeah. That one wasn't what, but see, that when I say iconography, something that the second you hear that song, it's in your head. You know it. Now, Watamote, love that one, but it doesn't have the same kind of staying power. So, yeah, like you were saying, when you mentioned...
It's just crazy. It's kind of iconic for the craziness that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anything Swan Hear Yuki, Brave Shines, fantastic. A lot of the Aimer stuff is always a huge one for me. Recreator's intro is fantastic. What was that one? What was that one called? It was... my gosh, I'm blanking. But yeah, Recreator's intros are fantastic. Anything Swan Hear Yuki is fantastic. Aimer's fantastic. I'm trying to think older ones. And I think, like I said, Utawaramono always comes to mind. Gunslinger Girls is phenomenal. Like, I get emotional just listening to that intro.
Yeah, and we're talking in general. I mean,
Lane, Serial Experiments Lane. Like,
yeah.
And it's crazy. Oh, I love
Brunhilde in the Darkness.
I love... Yes.
Not the show, no, the OP.
It's fantastic opening, but it's like giving me reminders of like, oh gosh, that show just... What did you do?
And that's the thing.
I love the nostalgia that it brings in a lot of cases. Like I said, listening to Serial Experiments Lane opening, just complete nostalgia for that. Gunslinger Girls does the same thing.
Yeah, there is a level of... The iconography of that song, I mean, it may not necessarily bring the show up. I mean, I think of Gangsta was absolutely fantastic. And we're throwing out a lot of shows. And like when Andrew had mentioned Watamote, I can think of the song because it was just, I loved it so much. That's probably, if not my number two, my number one of all of hers that she did. And because of just how awesome that entire intro was. I loved it.
Yeah. There's tons of them, though. There's tons of them. Berserk had a phenomenal intro, too. It doesn't really technically fit if you think about it, but it was a good intro. Noragami's intros are always fantastic. Oral Cigarettes and Man with Mission does phenomenal ones like Blood, Iron Blooded Orphans had phenomenal music for that one. Most all of it is crazy. Black Clover always ends up having really phenomenal openings as well. Always enjoy those ones. So there's tons of them. I think if you wanted me to choose one, I'll probably change my mind in like 2 seconds.
See, and that's Seraph at the End was the only one of the Swan no Hiroyuki that I would go, yeah, if I was to stick with a Swan no Hiroyuki, it would probably be this one. But yeah, I Watamote probably would be, I would lean towards that one probably. But yeah, because now that you mentioned it.
I can't choose. I don't know. Like, I'll just go with Utawaramono because I always think of that one first whenever I think of an intro. Mm-hmm. But
and that one is a very, very unique one that when you hear it, well, 12 Kingdoms.
Every time I hear that intro, I think of her running on
Yona of the Dawn. Because now that I think of 12 Kingdoms, I think of Yona of the Dawn. Those were fantastic as well.
I don't remember those ones, so
they're very, very melodic and
not memorable enough for me, I guess.
They're very, very beautiful songs.
There you go. If you had a fight. If you had to fight anyone in anime, who would it be? And do you think you would win? If I had to choose in order to make sure that I win, we'll go with that nerd guy from Run with the Wind. The guy that like barely could run more than 2 feet before he got like completely... like him when the show first started and he was like a total weeb and unable to walk more than 2 feet before being exhausted. I'll choose him. I'm going to fight him because I know I'll win. Like, other than that, it's gonna be like, what, you're gonna have to choose some kind of cute girl or something like that just so you don't get your butt kicked. But hey, some people might like the idea of fighting a cute girl, that way they can lose and be stepped on.
There you go.
So there's a good option there. I'll fight Rem and I'll let her step on me.
Go find some ringlets and get smashed.
Want some kind of ringlets and have her step on me. There you go. Rin to Sokka.
Yeah.
She would love to step on somebody. I just feel like that would be the case. There's another reason to get Yoimiya, by the way. This Rin to Sokka's Seiyu for the Japanese version for Genshin Impact.
Yeah, I was thinking about because my immediate reaction would be like, it would be kind of fun to actually go toe to toe with some of the boxers in Hajime no Ippo. But then I thought about it. I don't like pain, and I don't really want to. No,
I thought this would be fun, and then I realized it hurt, and I said, no, never mind. I don't want to do this no more.
So yeah, there is no real good answer. So I'll take on Dagum, the weird nerd guy that you're talking about.
the nerd from Run with the Wind. Yes, that is everybody's option right now. Like, okay, I'm gonna probably get heat for this, but I'm gonna say it because it's funny. I'll be honest, the first thing that came to my mind when I read that question was the poor girl from Maiden Abyss. And that's all I'm gonna say. And I'm a terrible person for thinking that, but that literally was the first thing that came to my mind, is I can kick this blob thing. I just kick it, and I'll win. I'm a terrible person, I know. What is the best fast food chain?
I'm going to go with Hardee's or Carl's Jr. in some parts of the country.
Yeah, when I was in the West Coast, I really did. Well, yeah, Carl's Jr. was a go-to for me, but technically In-N-Out was like the best. Over here, there's not really any good options. I like a Chick-fil-A every now and then. Five Guys, if we ever go far enough, we can get one of those. And those are good just for the fries alone. Burgers. But, I don't know, like, close to get to's where we're at now, it's probably between Hardee's and Chick-fil-A. It just depends on what I want, really.
Chick-fil-A is not right.
My desire for fast food has kind of dropped, so it's like not a, I don't feel like I want to go out of my way to get any.
To be fair, I do have a major addiction to Sonic's Ultimate Burritos. Don't know. I do. I love it.
Let's see. Fifth question, what is your strangest interaction with a random person? Like, for example, when I was a kid, a random man walked up to me with a toy snake and said, "Snake." Did you say it that way? "Snake." Mm-hmm. Mike Melker saw it. To me and walked away, and I'm still haunted this one. So he literally walked up, went, "Snake," and then walked away. Interesting. Was he like walking by and he decided, okay, there's a kid standing here, so I might as well interact really quickly and then kill up my life? Or was it like he bolted for you, said snake, and then said, "My life is achieved," and he walked away? Like, was it, maybe he was like doing
he was probably trying to be
early days trying to make a viral video before it was a thing. He was a trendsetter before it was a thing. He could have been the first viral video. He was TikTok before TikTok was TikTok. I don't even know how old you are, so I don't know. Maybe it was like 2 years ago.
To be fair, he was probably just trying to interact with a kid.
Hey, boy, snake.
But that's me. That's me trying to be nice. I mean, there's implications involved with snake, and that's not.
Why good. Are we going in a dark direction here?
Walking
this direction.
I'm being fair. I don't know. I mean. There is downsides to this interaction. There's, you know, good sides to it. He seen a sad kid. He went over there and he was, "Look, snake.
Hey, good man. Snake."
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have. I think like the weirdest like story that I have with random people was when I was working at a grocery store. It was like my second job that I ever had, and we had it in one of our cash register workers, she was a dog breeder. And so she would often talk about her dogs, that she's breeding these dogs and these dogs are turning out good. We have this set of puppies. They're great. And the oddity is that she called female dogs the name that you give female, actual female dogs, not the ones that we've adopted into calling women. And so she would say the B word, like, just very loosely, because she talks about the female dog, which is called this. It's referenced to this because they breed them. And so we would have customers that would come through, and she'd just be talking to somebody about her bee. And this person's like, what did she say? And it's like, it's okay. She's a dog breeder, and she that's what they're called. That's just more of an issue of people adopting words into something else and turning them into bad things. They're not necessarily bad words. They're just turned into bad words. Any stories from you?
Most of mine are bully stories, so yeah, probably not.
Bully stories?
Yeah.
Oh, bully stories.
Yeah, when I was getting bullied a lot, so yeah. Because people are weird.
Yeah.
Okay, no, okay.
School stories is a whole nother, thing.
Okay. I don't know if I should tell
you. You've got to have some crazy military stories.
But see, this is me, not necessarily somebody else. I don't know.
You being weird? That's your story?
I have tons of me being weird stories.
Nobody cares about that.
You know how everybody else, you know, when you ask somebody else about the weird, they'll talk about stories from me, you know? So.
Well, it does say strangest interaction with a random person. Doesn't necessarily mean the random person was strange. I mean, here, his story that he gave could be saying, look, me being weirded out and scared by this person that wanted to show me a snake is the weird part. He was perfectly normal.
I don't know. I like I said, I'm usually the weird one. But at the same time, I look at the world as upside down and backwards. So it's kind of normal for me to look at everybody else as weird. Maybe it's just me that's weird. Yeah. Maybe I'm the normal one and everybody else is crazy. That's very possible.
Yeah, it's
so every interaction that I have is weird.
Yeah, I that's the problem is I don't really have a very good memory. I mean, I've had my moments where crazy stuff has happened, but it's never like. I guess my problem is I've changed the way that I look at weird people. Like the case of your story with the snake, it's like I immediately think of, is this guy crazy? Like is he maybe have a mental problem? Yeah, I mean the obvious thing is that is it just random. He wants to interact with a kid, and the kid unfortunately seen it as a very unfortunate thing as terrifying. But most of my interactions, I don't really see them as something like that. I've always been pretty clean cut with my interaction with the people, I guess.
I'm
a boring person.
And I'm the case of that type of person who really does come off the wrong way. I just a couple weeks ago, we had a customer who I was trying to imply something to get their help, and they took it as I was trying to make them feel bad. And that was not my intention in any way, shape, or form. Luckily, that customer ended up talking to a couple of my coworkers, and they explained, no, you misunderstood what he was trying to say. And they came and told me later that customer had misunderstood what I was saying. And it's very true. I was not intending on it to be that way. And so I tend to give people a lot of leeway because I do know that in a lot of cases I have that problem. So maybe that's not necessarily what their intention is. They may necessarily just be I'm misunderstanding what they're doing.
Yeah. That's the troubling thing is I think that people don't give other people the benefit of the doubt most of the time. And that's always been a frustrating thing to me. And being that I always try to get people the benefit of the doubt in most cases, which I think probably makes me the most, again, it goes against me in having crazy stories, is that I usually typically don't see that as a negative thing when they should be negative things. I think the retail industry, or at least working in an industry where you're kind of seeing customers always, is always kind of a place where you run into difficult problems like that. I always talk about the idea that when we were doing sales at an office supply store, the supervisors would often take liberties in how they sell certain things, and then they would get themselves high up on the selling of that particular thing, like a, you know, a protection plan. Well, how do you sell a protection plan? Well, if you're a supervisor, you just reduce the cost of the actual item to where it comes out even, and then you celebrate the fact that you sold a protection plan, whereas we have to sell a protection plan on top of the cost of the item itself. So celebrating that stuff is kind of annoying. Or the idea that when you're trying to, you know, enact the policies for returns with, like, say, software where you can't return it at that time, you would tell one person no, they would walk away, and the next person would be adamant about it and tell it and yell at the supervisor, and they would get it returned. And it's like, well, you're kind of defeating it. We had that case with, I don't know if I told that on here before. Again, no returns at this office supply place for software, and we have this one old lady would come, and I literally, to this day, vividly remember this. It wasn't, like, back-to-back. It was like, I think it was within the same day or maybe 2 days. But this old lady comes in and she has a software and she's like, I need to return this. It didn't work on my computer. And I'm like, sorry, man, we don't do returns of software. She took it and she walked away. I said, okay, that's your policy. Literally, again, like I said, same day or maybe the next day, big guy comes in and starts yelling about wanting to return software. He's seen it on the wall. He knew it. Starts getting like, I'm going to see your let me see your supervisor. Stands over to the supervisor and starts yelling at him. So, no, this thing's broken. You should do return and all this kind of stuff. And then, sure enough, he comes over and overrides it and returns it. And it's like, and I told him later on, I'm like, I literally told an old lady the other day I can't do this. And she didn't yell. And yeah, I know. He knew. He just wanted to satisfy the customer. So it's like, again, that was that early on trying to instill to me the idea that the louder you yell, the more service you get. Unfortunately, not the case for Funimation app.
Right.
Unfortunately, not the case anymore because all these companies hide behind emails and stuff. Ugh. I think that's like a sad thing of the world right now. It's just everything that we rely on is behind emails and stuff that you can never directly contact people about issues anymore. It's sorry being downer. Sorry I'm being a downer. But yeah, I don't know. I've been really We had a lot of cases with, like, theft at that grocery store that I worked at, too. We had that same lady that I just talked about, the breeder, she chased somebody out the door one day because they loved stealing liquor from our store, especially late at night, obviously. These people would come in, they would grab a bottle and run out the door. And obviously, and it was the case with then, and that was quite a while back. Even the case then was, you don't chase them. You let them go. There's no reason to put, basically, it's a liability issue, but that old lady, like, she was literally, like, I would say she was 70, maybe 65. She was probably in her 60s. Yeah, she'd bowl after those kids. Like, so often they would drop it in, like, a basket as they were running by it just because they were afraid of her. But, yeah, everybody else is like, oh, there goes another one. They just ran out the door. There got another one. She's just, like, boom, she's gone. She's after them. She'd chase them all the way around the corner and everything. It was great. Dog breeder. Never missed her words, and she chased down those liquor thieves. I had a lot of fun times there. That was a fun job. That was mainly because it's late night. Like, working late night shifts, everything's always crazy. Except for graveyard shifts. I worked graveyard shifts before at an office supply place. It was not fun. I'll never do that again. Because, like, you're basically going to hang out with your friends, and then suddenly out of nowhere, it's like, they're all ready to go down. And because I was a part of a car club at the time, Saturn Car Club. So cool. The 96 Saturn,
so super cool,
blazing fast with its loud muffler and lights and everything.
Now he has an SUV.
Yeah, now I have an SUV. It's got good gas mileage, and you can put stuff in it. It's not like a gas juggler, like a truck. But no, we would always get together with our car club.
Yeah, my mom went from a minivan to a freaking massive truck.
A tank. She's, like, terrified to drive up a cliff to a dump.
And I still stick with my little teeny cars.
But no, we'd all get together for our little kind of drive around together, and it would, like, sorry, guys, got to go to work. Like, freaking 10 o'clock at night. It was terrible. I never want to do that again. But even then, we would have people, like, come to the door thinking they can get in to buy something in the middle of the night. It's like, lights are off for a reason. It's people trying to buy something at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning from an office supply place. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably think of like 50 stories after we finish recording.
Probably.
It's hard to think of things off the fly. But I hope that you get over your rubber snake fears. Honestly do. I think it's terrible that anybody should be... Is it that you're haunted by rubber snakes?
Or haunted by
or haunted by random people that might have rubber snakes. It's like you're walking around. This is so bad that I'm laughing at this, because this is going to be truly bad. I hope it's not truly bad. If it is, I'm very sorry. I have this like mentality of this person like walking down the street, and then like it has the, here comes a person on like the other side of the street, and then like zooms in their focus on the person's hand that's in their pocket. Could there be a rubber snake in their pocket? No, it was just a toothbrush. The guy had a toothbrush in his pocket. Oh, this person. Oh, the lady's pulling something out of her purse. What could it be? Oh, it's her car keys. It's mean. But it's fine because it's against the dark web. Sticking it to the dark web.
At least you don't have a problem with people pulling out rubber mice or rubber.
I thought you were going to go in a wrong direction again, Chris. Be careful.
You're the one having weird thoughts, not me. I was mm-hmm. thinking about mm-hmm. little rubber mice and mm-hmm. little rubber, because my boss has a little rubber rat for whatever reason. I don't know why, but he has one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He tries really hard to scare the ladies at my work. I don't know why.
That would be why. Does he say mouse whenever he goes?
No. He just throws it at him.
Rat.
It's sitting in the middle of our dog food place for whatever reason.
We had a rubber snake thing. We had this one. I used to, the last, well, yeah, it would technically be the last place that I worked at. is this like building that has a bad issue with birds. And obviously birds at a place that's a manufacturing plant for food products is a bad thing to have, because you don't want this site of a bunch of bird poop everywhere. Plus the contamination issues. So our front office had a huge bird problem. So the way that the VP at the time thought that they were going to resolve that was to put rubber snakes up on the columns of the front office. So I bought these rubber snakes, and they literally had somebody from maintenance go up on this lift and nail these rubber snakes to the top of these columns so the birds won't perch on it and do their business. It's like, I'd rather have bird poop everywhere than a bunch of rubber snakes hanging off the side of it. And it didn't work. Like, the birds would fly up and like hang out on top of the snakes and just like look around. I guess the alternatives were worse, because they had like, there was like a certain type of bird, fake bird that you can put up there that would scare them away. There was the spikes, obviously, putting spikes up there so they can't rest themselves on top of it. But yeah, there's my rubber snake story. is columns of rubber snakes all over the place at your workplace that doesn't even work because the birds are just flying around them.
My rubber snake story ended up with rubber mice and rubber rats. So we're doing good.
Anyways, again, we'll probably have 5 million stories after this. It's just hard to remember them on the spot, but I hope that was fun. Thanks, Bacon Chips, a.k.a. Bacon Chips, for your question, if that's really your name. But thanks, everybody, for their questions.
No, his name is XXX.
It's not the same person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Gosh, you're breaking the immersion. Again, thanks to... I'm not going to do it again. I know it's a funny joke, but I'm not going to keep doing it. But Otaku 120434, Havoc. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for the questions. Jack TWD4th and Star K. Definitely appreciate you guys sending it. Thanks for answering the call, getting the questions out there. We definitely thanks you guys for your support to that way. Definitely gives us some content to work with. But we hope you guys enjoy this discussion podcast episode. As always, we definitely appreciate everybody's support, especially those on Patreon, those that tell other people about us, those that go to our YouTube and support us there. I think we just hit 4,100 subscribers, which is fantastic. Yeah, all the different ways you guys can support us, we definitely appreciate it. And as always, we thank you all for listening. We hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Peace.